somebody want to talk to detective?
Okay.
Ma'am, do both of you guys want to tell us something, or you just want to make a... Okay, we'll just do it one at a time.
Okay.
We have to separate everything out.
Hiding days.
Okay.
One here.
Friends,
going to have a seat here.
Do you have any ID or anything?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it just right down here. Thank you, sir. Is this your... And do you have a phone number I can reach at? We need to talk to you again. What's today?
Basically, I'm here to give the officer some peace of mind and hopefully help alleviate the stresses involved with the liability aspect of your investigation. The gentleman in question that was shot and killed was supposed to go with me up to a ranch I have up north for a couple of weeks and get his head straight. Basically, I don't know if you know his background or anything, but about 6 months ago, the family moved back to Idaho. They lost the home. He moved with them. I guess didn't fit in for whatever reason and decided to come back out to California because that's where all his friends were, and basically fell flat on his face. You probably already know that he was arrested a week prior for theft at Target. And he was he had an interview with Trader Joe's on Thursday. And so he was, from what I understand, from what was told me, was stealing a pair of slacks so that he could go to the interview. As well as a couple of hats for his quote-unquote friend who was basically letting him stay there temporarily. And that this gentleman was very disturbed, not disturbed, but very, he's not a danger to himself in terms of like a suicidal person that you would have to watch, but I recognize the signs. That's why I said that Saturday, I insisted that I call the 211 number. And the reason that I wanted to call him, because I had convinced him to go and check himself in to get help, because I recognized that he was a danger to himself. It was, the way I described it, it was kind of like the brain has a sense of self-preservation, and that self-preservation had been lost. Okay. He had given up all hope. So I liken it to somebody who's standing there at the crosswalk, the light says walk, and instead of walking, he stands there, says don't walk, starts flashing, and then continues to stand there. Light turns red, traffic starts going this way, and then he enters into the highway without even, you know, realizing it. 211 basically asked to speak to him, and they, after speaking to him, had him kind of convinced that things would be all right, and he didn't need to check himself in. The only reason why I was calling was to find out the local facility where I can take him to. I had to tend to some business down in the San Fernando Valley, and so I dropped him back off at this friend's house with the expectation to pick him up, you know, a few days later to basically get him out of town to take a vacation from his problems, basically, so that when he came back in a few weeks, either check him in or at least get him to realize that all hope is not lost. I got a text message on Thursday from my mother, basically letting me know.
And you've never said the guy's name?
Bryant.
Right, okay. And what's your relationship with him?
To be perfectly honest with you, he was released with me when I was released on Monday morning. I had to serve 6 days, well, 3 days, I guess, but sentenced to six. Right. And you know, I recognized that he just needed somebody to kind of basically care and kind of give him a hand.
Did you know him before you were in jail?
Nope.
So you only met him when you guys got released?
Yeah. Okay. I offered to give him a ride back to Camarillo because that's where I was going. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I had suspected that that he was not somebody that was desperately in need and a good kid, that I would have never even offered him a ride. Mm-hmm. But
What did he tell you? Did he tell you anything about what was going on? Like, why did you think that he wasn't in his right mind? Did he make any statements?
Because the decisions that he was making were not, you know, when somebody says go over there to smoke your cigarette and they turn around and then they turn back around and see that you have not smoked your cigarette over there, it was like in one ear out the other. It was literally like the brain had shut off and stopped the self-preservation mode. Like, it had shut down. The decision-making skills were very lacking.
Can you give us an example of that?
I just did. The guy standing at the crosswalk.
Okay, but was there specific things that he did that made you feel that way? Like, can you guys are standing somewhere and he does this?
He wasn't, and that's why I say that it wasn't a situation where I felt like I needed to lock up all the knives or stuff like this. And now I come to find out, you know, that's what he used to basically. What I'm here today to basically say is this was a suicide by officer. This was not a random act of violence. This was a means to an end, and it was not motivated by violence. It was not motivated by I'm crazy and I want to go stab somebody. His intention was to commit suicide.
Okay, and what makes you think that? Like, we appreciate you telling us that, but we want to know why you think that. Were there statements made? Was there, did he tell you that he wanted to kill himself? Like, what? I understand you called 211, which is the mental health hotline, but I'm just kind of trying to find out, like, exact words that were said, if any, or why you thought that.
It was just a feeling that I had that he had given up, that, you know, he was suicidal without going out of the way and saying it, in essence. And that's why I use the analogy of somebody who's lost all their sense of self-preservation. Okay. Standing there at the crosswalk, light says walk, stands there, light says don't walk, stands there, light turns red, waits until traffic starts going, and without even thinking about it, starts walking.
Did he make any statements to you, or was it just based on a feeling?
The last statement that he made to me was in a text message, and it was on Wednesday that he had his destiny basically was to be allowed to die up on my ranch.
Okay. Do you have that text message still?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you mind showing me that? If I can get, just so I can get the exact verbiage and words that he did?
I can forward them to you.
Okay. Do we have a phone number we can forward it to?
Yeah, you can forward them to me. Can we take pictures of them on the phone? If you just put your phone, we can take pictures.
Yes. As long as this is not giving my consent to you basically turning my life upside down and going through all of my personal... Well, I don't really trust you guys, to be honest with you.
That's fair enough. And we appreciate you coming here.
I'm here because I owe it to the officer. Okay. And to give him some peace of mind.
And we appreciate that. What as this investigation's going on, we are, you know, contacting people, talking to them. What you're telling us is important, and we appreciate that.
That's why I'm here.
But I want the
I don't even know if you can tell me this, but do you know where he was staying?
No, we don't.
I can give you that information.
Okay, where was he staying at?
There's a judging, you know, just by that name, you should be able to look him up. Went to Adolfo High with him. You could probably look it up via their yearbooks. I mean, I can't imagine.
Do you know the location where he was staying at?
Yeah, I dropped him off a couple of times at Carmen and Daly. There's a, you have the Denny's
uh-huh.
on one side. The other side of the street, of this street.
Okay.
So that street that that Denny's is on, I don't know what that is.
Because it's called Daly.
No, not Daly. There's a Denny's is on a corner of two
right.
streets.
Okay.
Not the Daly one, but the one that 90 or not 90s tees into Daly.
Okay.
Right there at Denny's. A block up, there's a on the right hand side. So if you're either making the left hand turn, if you're going, I guess, eastbound on Daly.
Okay.
Or the right-hand turn if you're going westbound on Daly. A block up on your right-hand side, so if you're going, I guess this would be north, if I'm not mistaken. If you're going north on the right-hand side, the first drive-in or alleyway kind of, and actually there's a local sheriff that lives there.
Is it the apartment complex?
I don't know if it's apartment complex or a condominium complex. It looks more like townhouses. So I doubt it's an apartment complex.
So this is kind of right behind Taco Bell. Like if you were at Taco Bell, kind of looking across the street, I'm trying to follow as far as, because you got Denny's, and then it comes around, you're talking about the corner that comes around where you get Daly, and Daly kind of tees off.
This is the Denny's, this is Daly. Okay,
so this is your ID back, please.
Okay, can I borrow your pen, bro?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is this street. I don't know
the name
of this street. So this is Daly, this is your Denny's.
Okay.
This street right here, right about here, is this complex of some sort, and it looks like townhouses because I believe they have garages.
Okay, here I'm gonna come over and sit next to you.
Okay, if you want to pull up Google Maps.
Okay, here's Google Maps.
Yeah, that would be easier.
All right, so here's Wood Ranch Barbecue. This is Daly Drive
mm-hmm.
that goes along the freeway.
No, back this way, because I recognize the worst apartment. Yeah, so it would be right. Sorry, I don't mean to tell
you. No, you're right.
Okay, this is Denny's, I think, right there, right? Or
it's
is that
Brendan's.
Denny's? Okay, so
Denny's.
Denny's
is
right
down
there.
By the hotel.
No, Denny's, because that's Carmen. That if you look at that pond, the lakes, that complex is all at Carmen. So it's before you get to Carmen. It's in between Arneal and Carmen, or Mobile and Carmen.
There's Mini. There's the Mini place. They're going down.
That's right next to the Motel 6.
Okay, there's the ranch. There's Bobby's.
Yeah, that's Carmen.
Okay,
keep going this way. See, there's
okay,
the
there's
lake
the
right here.
There's Motel 6.
There's Motel 6. So Denny's is right there.
Okay.
That's Denny's. Yep, it says Denny's right there. So this, not this driveway, but if you come up.
This is.
I'm trying to recognize
how
it's laid out. Now I think this is it right there. Mont Vista. Back here, right there. So he is right here at the corner. And I believe it's that unit right there.
This unit, let's see if I can get
the main reason why I'm here is it's not fair to the officer to have to live with the guilt of taking somebody's life.
Well, we appreciate that. Okay, so you dropped him off on two different occasions. You believe the guy's name is what?
And I can only imagine there's probably maybe a handful in California with that name and that age that went to Adolfo. Okay. And maybe only one.
What year did he graduate, or how old is he?
He's
23. 23?
Yeah.
All right.
Judging by that, I assume you have not been in contact with any family members or anything.
Well, we're not handling the complete investigation, so can you show me those text messages on your phone, please?
If it'll let me pull them up, I'm not sure. This is only Wi-Fi.
And do you,
it looks like it is.
What number was he selling and sending it from?
Yeah, see, it's saying network error. Let's see. Let me see if I can't pull it up some other way. That's why I was asking if I could forward it to you, because I can go back to my mom's house and hook up the Wi-Fi and then be able to forward it.
And was that your mom standing outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was from her house that we called 211. In fact, she's actually sent you guys an email pertaining to the
Who did she send that email to?
I'm not really sure. She just said that she sent an email because she's involved with NAMI, or NAMI. She sent an email to the director of the crisis center, informing them of the dropped ball, and then also an email to you guys informing you that that from her phone, the crisis center was contacted, and that if you had any further questions regarding this, but it may have just been lost because I don't know if anybody put two and two together that my mother was referring to this incident.
Okay. All right. Do you have...
I'll show you.
So it sounds like it's not... Is it like an email, not necessarily a text message, or like a...
Well, no. I have Google Voice, and so with Wi-Fi, I can... and it only allows me to go back, yeah.
Oh, gotcha, as far as storage goes.
Well, actually, December 17th, that might... No, because you can...
Can you show us the number that it was called from?
That's what I was trying to pull up, and it's basically not allowing me to go back. See, network error, because I'm not connected. Well, okay. Let's see if it'll pull it up. But I can give you that, and apparently that's... texting me from a Wi-Fi app, and
okay.
The phone that he was apparently.
Let me see. You think it begins with a K?
I believe so. And I have the exact spelling because he either Wednesday or Tuesday, I forget, said and basically the text messages that I would receive from him was, you know, because he was terrified that he felt abandoned, he felt alone. He just kept basically begging, please don't leave me. Please don't go and leave me here without taking me with you to your ranch.
Okay.
And it just got progressively more like he had lost all hope and had felt like he was abandoned. And I kept reassuring him that, you know, I have not left. I have no intention of leaving you behind. I will be taking you with me. I've never met the person. I have no intention of meeting him.
Okay.
Anybody that's going to get somebody to steal so that they feel like, or so that they can stay, and it's a supposed friend, is not somebody I ever want to interact with.
Okay.
But he would, Bryant would tell me basically how he felt almost pressured into basically stealing for this kid to appease him so that he didn't have to, you know, be on the street. And with the arrest from Target, he just felt like his whole world was over, that he'd never be able to get a job and everything. And that's why I, you know, said, hey, you know, if you want to just come up to the ranch for a minute, get your head straight, get away, take a vacation from your problems. Mm-hmm. And, I suffer from depression.
Okay.
And so that's why this is something that, like, I understand from the standpoint of somebody who has to deal with it on a regular basis. And, sorry.
Awesome. So, I mean, I assume it hits home for you, it sounds like. Is there, say, something that you saw in him that you see that maybe that you do whenever you're depressed or you're having a bad moment that he was doing that made you really recognize it? Because
that's the only reason why I recognized it, because I sensed that, you know, there was something awry. There was something, and it wasn't like, watch out for this person. It was like, here's somebody who's literally at the edge and is desperate. And I don't mean desperate as in like a bank robber desperate. I mean desperate as in like they felt alone.
Yeah. Now, I know it's a difficult thing to do as far as putting feelings and your emotions and also what you see into words. And that's kind of what I'm asking you to do, because for us, we didn't get to see anything.
And that's
so
why I'm here, because yeah. I know you guys are grasping at straws trying to figure out what the hell happened.
Yeah, so some of it is, see, like you give your example as far as, you know, crossing the street and a red light. Can you...
There were several times, because, you know, what I was trying to do is basically get him to snap out of this and realize that it's not over, you know, just take a breath, relax for a minute. I'm not going to, you know, I'm here for you. Your friends might have abandoned you. You might feel alone, but I'm not going to leave you. There were things where, like, the cigarette, you know.
Did that actually happen?
Or oh, yeah.
Okay, so somebody asked him to move.
I did.
Okay.
I did, because my mother doesn't like smoking. It's a horrible habit that I picked back up, and I'm in the process of quitting. Things like this don't make it easy, though.
So you asked him to go smoke just over, and he just...
And I went back inside to go take care of something, and I come back out, and it was like in one ear, out the other. Okay. And there were several instances like that where there was a disconnect of, like, rational... a normal thought process. You know, if you're a guest in somebody's house and they say, hey, take your shoes off, or, you know, something is, you know, like that, it was almost like there was a disconnect. Like, you tell him to go right and he would just go left, not because he's trying to piss you off, it's just the brain had literally shut off. And the best example I can use is that self-preservation mode the brain has. You know, our brain won't let us just jump out in traffic. It says, hey, danger.
Right.
You know, whereas that aspect of his brain had completely, like, shut off. Like,
okay.
There was a disconnect for making rational decisions.
Okay. And because of this, you guys ended up calling 211 from your mom's house.
Yeah, because I had felt like he wasn't, in essence, like, I never got the feeling like he was going to go grab a knife and go try and slit his wrist. It's just the fact that he was not making any decisions that were beneficial, and to the contrary, put him in a bad position, you know. And I'd ask him, what's going through your head? I mean, what is the disconnect? Why when I ask you not to smoke here, to go over there because the window's open and I got the fan on, would you ignore that and not go over there? He just kept saying, I don't know. I don't know why I'm, you know, it's almost like I can't think, basically. That's why I called 211, because I had convinced him that you know, at this point, he needs to go and check himself in for a 72-hour. And given...
Did he do that?
No, no. I called 211 to find out the local facility, and they basically asked to speak to him. They spoke to him for 5 minutes and convinced him otherwise, basically.
Right. And what day was that, do you remember?
Saturday.
Saturday what?
About two.
But Saturday, what's the date?
Oh, this was last Saturday. Or not last Saturday, the Saturday before this incident.
Okay. So today is the 24th, and you're talking about, well, here's the calendar, I'll let you tell me what the date was.
So this happened Thursday a week ago. It would have been the Saturday before that, so the 12th.
Okay.
Around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And I was literally just, and I explained to them the situation, I explained to them what was going on, and, you know, why I felt that this person needed at least a 72-hour, you know, look at it this way, a 72-hour, you know, just clear your thoughts, you know, three hots in a cot. You know, I mean, you're taken care of, you're not in a position where you can hurt yourself or walk into traffic accidentally, or it was almost like he was sleepwalking.
Okay.
You know, that's the best way I could describe it.
All right. That makes sense. So basically, based on your assessment of what was going on with him, you had called the 211, talked to him, you'd given him rides, you had a relationship. Mm-hmm. He texted you. You were going to go up to your ranch with him, and
yeah, I was going to take him up there just to get him away from all of his problems, mm-hmm. let him relax, get his head straight, you know, go for a couple hikes. You know, it's just there's nothing up there really. It's just there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing that can hurt him, and you know, just to basically like what about Bob? You know, take a vacation from your problems.
Okay. What, you know, today's the 24th and this happened on the 16th. What made you come in today?
I had every intention to come in ever since I got back to Camarillo.
Okay.
I literally just got back this morning.
Okay.
So I've been in the San Fernando Valley working on a project all week long. And as soon as I found out what had happened, it was extremely difficult for me to deal with that. And my full intention was to basically, as soon as I set foot in Camarillo, to come in and talk to you guys.
What I'm going to do is my partner's going to write a report that you came in and talked to us. He has your contact information. Probably some of the investigators who are handling the investigation will probably contact you.
No problem.
And they'll be the ones who will want to get those contacts from you.
Main reason, like I said, of coming in today, and if I felt that I should have called, I would have, but I didn't feel like calling would have really addressed the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I do apologize for taking so long to get back to Camarillo, because I know this has been probably a nightmare for the officer.
Okay, we appreciate that. And I know that, you know, you said you've been arrested and you don't really like cops, so...
I had an issue with one of your sheriffs. He shows up at my door. I have an ongoing feud with my mother's neighbors ever since I shut down my machine shop in Simi Valley and was storing some of my stuff while I was looking for a place where I could live and work at, hence the ranch. So I recently bought the ranch last year. I was storing some of my equipment in my mother's garage. They didn't like that, and their attitude is, well, we pay property taxes, so we get to tell you what you do. And there's no HOA or anything, and so they started calling in favors from the code enforcement director, who I had fired because he was overstepping his bounds, violating my civil liberties. They would call the sheriffs on me all the time. I had sheriffs out of my house, you know, sometimes weekly, sometimes daily, and just basically general harassment. And one time, one of the sheriffs shows up and he sticks his foot in the door. My mother has little dogs that are escape artists. And I asked him, you know, can I shut the screen door so the dogs don't get out? And he stuck his foot in the door and refused to remove it. And I said, you're violating my civil liberties. Unless you have a warrant, you have no business stepping over this threshold. Yeah. And he basically refused. And it got to the point where I said, okay, well, I'm going to call 911 and have you removed. And so I turn, and he lunges inside and tries to rip me outside, accusing me of using drugs. And I basically pull my arm and retreat farther down the hall, call 911, at which point he turns and radios in for backup, removing his foot. So I just quietly shut and locked the door behind him and filed a complaint. I even told the lieutenant or whoever I spoke to, his sergeant, and I believe I'm not sure how you guys do it, because I know it's a contract office. So I don't know if you guys are under the auspices of the main sheriff's office, or if you have your own lieutenant here, or captain, or whatever.
We're all sheriff's deputies. So.
That's what I thought. But I spoke to whoever the person in charge for this facility, in charge of Camarillo, and explained to him, you know, this is more of a training thing. I don't want to file a formal complaint, because I don't want it to follow the officer around in his docket for the rest of his life. Or his career. You know, if the training aspect of it was addressed, then that's satisfactory to me.
Okay. And just, why were you in jail, can I ask?
Because 6 months later, he shows back up at my house because the neighbors called because I had spilled a little bit of oil in the driveway, and tackles me with two of his other buddies in my mother's front yard, screaming at the top of their lungs, "Stop resisting or we'll arrest you," while I'm cleaning up the mess.
Okay. And what happened with that case?
I fought it, and of course, being Ventura County and very conservative, cops walk on water.
Okay. And that's when you did your time and you got out and you were, mm-hmm. That case is all closed. Okay. All right. Is there anything else that we should make sure we document? And what's the, is the address that's on your license the one? Okay.
Are you going to be going to your ranch soon? As if we need contact you or anything else?
Yeah. If you can let the investigators know, I'm leaving. Like, I'm here in Camarillo to grab a couple of things and head back up there, and then I'll be back Monday. And it's about 650 miles away.
Okay. Where's Okay, so way up there,
and I'm gonna have to fight the Donner Pass, which is expected to get a foot of snow today. So
okay, all right. So is that the number that we have for you still a good number?
That's my mother's phone number at her house in Camarillo. She's in contact with me on a regular basis, and like I said, I'll be back on Monday. So if any messages do come in over the weekend.
Well, what I'll do, just in case that, because it's Christmas and everything
else, that's what I figured.
I'll give you my cell phone number,
okay.
And you can forward those texts to me.
Okay.
You know, or if you can, you know, if you can screenshot them.
However you want. You
know, if what you do, it would help me out if you screenshotted, you know, all the texts, okay. You know, and then... that way we'll at least have them and investigators can get in hold of you, but so that they have it readily available.
Okay.
Then, because I'll be, you know.
Well, and if I forward them to you, it's not as official as a screenshot, because forwarding can be cherry-picked, screenshot.
Yeah, if you screenshot. So I'll give you my number. Do you have any more questions?
No, I mean, I was going to maybe try and get a description, but it sounds as far as...
You're dealing with a disturbed individual who basically, he fell flat on his face. He, you know, his parents, basically, his dad lost his job. They lost the house. They moved to Idaho. He's in Idaho for 3 months, comes back out here because Idaho is a little bit different lifestyle than living in California and Camarillo and everything. And probably he just didn't fit in out there. Fell flat on his face, ended up basically sleeping on the couch with this kid who was supposedly one of his best friends in high school, who really just kind of abused the situation and turned it into a situation where he felt that he had to, like, for instance, steal hats for him from Target in order to, you know, not be kicked out. And so not only was he alone because no family was out here, the friends that he thought he had that he came back to actually be with had kind of just kicked the shit out of him.
Took advantage of him.
That it stole, like, would steal money from him. I mean, his dad would send him, you know, a couple $100 here and there when they could so that he could afford the rent. And the agreement, I guess, according to Brent or Bryant, was that he was basically paying rent, but like his dad would send a package out and it never would get delivered.
Gotcha.
And there were text messages.
You think they're intercepting it? And
well, I can almost guarantee it because Bryant had which was still connected to the app, getting these text messages more money from, you know, douchebag, and these are supposed friends, so he's reading these things and seeing how people really are.
So he realized that his friends were stealing from him, and that probably brought him to an even lower state. Okay.
Cool. Do you mind if I just get a picture of you real quick that you came in, just since more recent?
That's good. All right.
And then let's stand up. And thank you, sir.
Put on a fake smile.
Let me go get my, I'll go get you one of my cards.
Do you want to photocopy this?
I took all the information. If you want to get a photocopy, yeah, just get a photograph.
Technology and its...
Yes. Yes. Do you guys have, I forget what it's called, but it's basically an app that allows you to take any picture of anything and turn it into a PDF?
Yeah, I got that. No. Let me go get a card and I'll be right back.
All
right,
thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for all the information. I mean, I understand that's very hard to come in.
I have an obligation to you guys. I have an obligation to this county. I have an obligation to the officer. I can't, you know, it's very tragic. But my point of view and where I'm coming from is somebody's life was lost, and that's very tragic by itself. And I don't even know if the family knows yet.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no contact with the family. That's another thing that's eating me up. But at the end of the day, it's not fair for the officer to have to live the rest of his life with that guilt.
No. Yeah, it's a tough situation, unfortunately.
And you really should probably talk to Kalel, because
okay.
Sir, thank you again for coming in.
I appreciate it.
It's my name. This is my office number or my email if you want to email the screenshots to me. This is the cell phone number that you can text them to me. All right? If you do text them to me, do it like between 8 and 5 and not 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd appreciate that.
Well, me coming in here should tell you that I'm very respectful.
Yep, I appreciate it. So, thank you for coming in. Merry Christmas.
Can you do me a favor and let the officer know that it's not his fault?
We appreciate it. Did your mom want to...
Let's see.
Hi, you know, I sent an email to Matt Stadler, thank you. Okay. And I just had the day and the time along with when Brian had called the 211.
The 211, oh, okay.
So my son clearly knows a lot more because he was the one with Brian that was dealing with Brian at the time.
Gotcha.
But you sent an email about the incident to...
Well, I just sent an email to Matt this week. I forget which day. I'm just saying I wanted him to know that Brian had called 211.
Okay.
A few days before the incident.
Okay.
So awesome. That if you guys wanted to pull the records or the tapes or whatever and know exactly what the conversation was, you would be able to.
Can you just give my partner your name and phone number? Your son gave us your phone number just to follow up, but just so that he can just document that we talked to you about.
Okay.
If you guys need me.
And my work number is.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
You guys have a Merry Christmas. Have a happy holidays.
Thank you, sir.
Meet you.